Welcome to the Mesa City Council meeting for June the 4th. We will be conducting our regular City Council meeting tonight, and immediately following that meeting, we will be conducting a special meeting for the purpose of adopting our budget. We're going to begin the meeting tonight with an invocation offered by Pastor Ryan Visconti of the Generation Church, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance that will be led by Nicholas Burt of the East Valley Young Marines. So please stand and remain standing for the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Gentlemen, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to pray for you. Our church, we believe the Bible says all governing officials are appointed by God, so we pray for God's favor and wisdom to be with you in everything that you do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here today, and we pray that you would give us wisdom as we discuss the business of taking care of this community. I pray that this chamber be filled with your love and peace, Lord, that this would be a place of mutual respect as a way of honoring you. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Everyone, please rise if able and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor Visconti, and thank you, Nicholas, for getting the meeting off to a great start. The first item on our agenda today is awards and recognitions, and I want to take this opportunity to give some time to a very important person in our community. I think we all know that the great superintendent of Mesa Public Schools has retired and moved on, and we wish Dr. Cowan great success with his next efforts, but we have a very exciting opportunity to get to know Dr. Ember Connolly, and we've invited Dr. Connolly to come and just say hello and introduce herself to us. I need to tell you, I'm a big Mesa Public Schools fan. My dad was a school principal for many years there, and in the house that I grew up in, I couldn't tell you who the mayor or the city council was, but I could tell you who every member of the school board was and who the superintendents were. And in this community, Dr. Connolly, your job is a very important position in our community. And you have a lot of friends in this community that are dedicated to your success, and we're very, very excited that you're here. So welcome, and please tell us what we need to know about you.
Thank you. I continue to be very honored and humbled to have been selected. As you know, Dr. Cowan has built an amazing team, and his leadership has truly fostered an amazing school district. And so as I have, just a little bit about me, I was born in Utah, and that was just a little bit by default. My parents lived about 60 miles over in the Colorado border, and I grew up in a town of about 300. So if any of you have ever traveled from the La Salle Mountains down into a tiny little community called Paradox, that's where I began my journey of life, and then I moved over to a big town of Dolores, and that was even bigger in Colorado. But I had the good fortune of my parents having a business in Arizona as well. So I grew up from the time I was 8 coming back and forth between southwestern Colorado and Arizona. I went to college, Arizona State University, and had a tremendous education both with Arizona State University, received my master's from UC Denver, began my educational plight, and I want to share with you that I'm a first-generation college student, and so I've seen the power of what education can do firsthand. My mother didn't graduate from high school, and my dad was in the Navy, and so really seeing it from a different lens of what education can do for our young people. And as I have been selected by Mesa Public, I certainly don't take this lightly, and I know the work that we have to do together, and I believe that our partnerships are extremely valuable and important for our young lives. So you're going to hear a lot about where are we headed and where do we want our team to go. So I've already started working closely with our team. So with me, I have Scott Thompson, who's our Assistant Superintendent of Business and Support Services, which sounds simple, but it's very complex. And as you engage in community endeavors, We also are looking, because we're growing and we have children to take care of, and we definitely want to be able to partner and grow those relationships. So I would say where I'm coming from that I know is very important, it's early childhood. So I know that your mayor and your vice mayor has a very strong passion for early childhood. You're going to hear a lot about third grade reading, eighth grade math, 11th grade English language arts, and high school graduation. And those are the metrics that, as a school district, we're going to be specifically looking at. But wrapped around that, we also know that we have little humans and little human beings that we have to take care of socially and emotionally, and it takes all of us. And so I'm very passionate about that. And also, looking at public education, Mesa Public has been known as a beacon of excellence, not only around the state, but the nation. I remember looking at Mesa and thinking, what an amazing school district. And again, just continue to be honored and humbled by this position. So I'm here to ask and answer any questions, but again, know that I am really a few steps away and I look forward to being in the community. I do have two children of my own. I have a 9-year-old that will be going to Johnson Elementary. So I'm sure the principal is really excited to have the superintendent's son who drew that lucky straw. But I also have a 20-year-old in college.
Well, again, welcome, Dr. Connolly. We're excited to partner with you. As you know, the city and the school districts, we have a few great school districts in our community, but we partner at every opportunity. And so we're really looking forward, and I can tell we've got a good one. So thank you.
We're looking forward to working with you. And I'll just continue. It takes all of us to educate our children and take care of them. So thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you very much. Thank you. The next item on under this agenda item is a presentation by Councilmember Freeman in recognition of Master Gunnery Sergeant Tyson Henry. Mr. Freeman.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate that. You know, military service permeates our community and even our families. My father served in the military. I have a son in the military in the Air Force, and I appreciate the service of everyone who serves. This is a special time that we can pay tribute to Tyson Henry. Tyson's a young man. I'd like to read what he has done so far in his young life. Tyson is a Master Gunnery Sergeant in the Young Marines program and is a junior at Mountain View High School in Mesa. Tyson is committed to strengthening our communities and keeping youth on a path to a healthy and drug-free lifestyle. Tyson has earned the Young Marines Distinguished Order of Merit. This is the highest award that a member of the Young Marine program can earn. His final project for this award, including partnering with local and state agencies to hold an event targeting to combating the opioid crisis in our community in conjunction with Governor Ducey. Tyson is one of only three young Marines to have earned this award in the state of Arizona, the last one being earned in 2012. Utilizing Project Alert curriculum, Tyson has developed a multitude of training to assist in educating youth about the dangers of drugs and alcohol. Tyson has presented to hundreds of youth through local schools and community youth groups. Because of these efforts, Tyson has received both the Drug Demand Reduction and DEA awards through the Young Marines program. Additionally, Tyson's home unit, the East Valley Young Marines, has been recognized as the Department of Defense with the Fulcrum Shield Award in 2016 and the DEA's Kiki Camaranas Award for the past 4 years for the unit's drug demand reduction efforts. Tyson is a dedicated and motivated leader that has successfully completed and is now instructing multiple leadership schools. Tyson's passion for drug demand reduction comes from personal family experiences. This has led him on a mission to prevent other families from having to experience what his family went through. After high school graduation, Tyson plans on attending college, serving his country in the Marine Corps, and ultimately desires to secure a passion with the DEA. Accompanying Tyson this evening is his mother and friends, U.S. Marine retired, and I can't get it all right, but I appreciate it, Mr. Frank Alger, and appreciate him being here. So with that, I'd like to, Mayor, if you would, we'll go down and take a picture, and Tyson, if you'll come forward here at the podium. Thank you very much. Let's give him a hand.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you. Those are two great individuals in our community. We're excited to have you part of Mesa. The next item on our agenda is to take action on the consent agenda. So I'd invite Mr. Kiffer and Christopher to come forward and read the consent agenda.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. These are the items in the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the City Council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on reappointment of City Magistrate Elizabeth Areola to a four-year term beginning July 1st, 2018 and ending June 30th, 2022. Item 4A, act on liquor license application for Thai Time Kitchen, 1649 South Stapley Drive. Item 4B, act on liquor license application for the Latin Kitchen, 540 West Broadway Road. Item 4C, act on liquor license application for Odyssey Cellars, 7235 East Hampton. Item 5A, act on contract to purchase a mobile six-camera video system for the police department. This purchase is grant-funded by the Arizona Department of Homeland Security. Item 5B, act on dollar limit increase to the term contract for supplemental computers, ruggedized laptops, and tablets for various city departments, as requested by the Information Technology Department. Item 5C, act on ratification of the emergency purchase of four ventilators for the Fire and Medical Department. Item 5D, act on ratification of the emergency purchase of a fire burn building prop for the Fire and Medical Department. Item 5E, act on one-year renewal of the term contract for generator rental services for the Water Resources Department. Item 6A, act on a resolution authorizing and supporting the submittal of a grant application by Gene Lewis Boxing Club to the Pasquot Yaqui Tribe and authorizing the city manager to accept and administer subsequent awarded funds as a pass-through grant. Item 6B, act on a resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into a sub-recipient agreement with the Arizona Department of Homeland Security to accept grant funds for equipment to support and sustain the police department's rapid response task force. Item 7A, act on ordinance granting ZON 18-00056, the 4300 through 4400 blocks of East Florian Avenue. This is located north of Southern Avenue and west of Greenfield Road. Modification of an existing planned area development and site plan review to allow for development of an office building. Item 7B, act on ordinance regarding ZON 18-00061, the 7600 block of East Baseline Road and the 2000 block of Sossaman Road, located at the southeast corner of Sossaman and Baseline. A rezone and site plan review to allow for development of a medical clinic. Item 7C, act on ordinance regarding ZON 18-00169, the 8200 to 8400 blocks of East Baseline Road, located west of Hawes Road on the north side of Baseline. Modification of an existing planned area development to allow for the reduction of interior garage dimensions. Item 7D, act on ordinance amending Title 11, Sections 11-19-1, 11-19-2, 11-19-3, and 11-19-5 of the Mesa Zoning Ordinance to make minor updates to the Airfield Overlay District, including updating the purpose statement, replacing the airfield map, and revising definitions. Item 70, act on ordinance amending the land use regulations tables in the airfield overflight areas in Title 11, Mesa Zoning Ordinance, Section 2 of Chapters 4, 5, 6, 7, and 10. And item 8A, act on subdivision plat, Sanctuary at Los Andes, 3200 to 3300 blocks of North Red Mountain on the west side. This is located north and east of Power and McDowell Roads. Mayor and Council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Christopher. Ms. Mickelson, have there been any requests to speak on an item on the consent agenda? All right, thank you. I see that Mr. Freeman has made a motion seconded by Mr. Luna. Please cast your vote. The consent agenda passes unanimously. The next item on our agenda is item number 9. That is to conduct a public hearing to extend the locally controlled alternative expenditure limitation, commonly known as home rule option. Candace, welcome. Oh, well, I'm sorry, but first, before we do that, we'll get a staff presentation, then we'll open up the public hearing. So, Candace, tell us what we need to know about home rule.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. So we did an overview of home rule, but it was way back in February, so we thought it would be prudent tonight to kind of do a real quick highlight of what exactly home rule is. and what it means to the city of Mesa. So home rule, really what the home rule does is it allows the city council to have control over setting the budget each year based on the resources that are available and the needs of the community. Why would we need to do something separate? Why is it not just part of our normal process? Well, back in 1979-80, the state created basically a limitation or expenditure limitation. We would be under that limitation. It's the 1979-80 budget that was set at that time. And then there's a formula that would inflate it with population and population and inflation. And that would be the dollar amount that we would be subject to as we go into each fiscal year going forward. The question is, why does that formula not work for the city of Mesa and for many other municipalities in Arizona? One thing the formula does not take into account are citizen-voted initiatives to increase revenues in order to provide services for this community. Some of the examples that we have here in the city of Mesa include the quality of life sales tax, our local street sales tax, and then an increase to our general fund sales tax. And you can see the dollar amounts there that those particular sales tax initiatives generate to provide services to the community here. The other thing it doesn't take into account is any other revenue streams, which the city of Mesa has a few of those that have increased over time that don't fit into the formula for inflation and population. The other thing the formula does not take into account is your pay-as-you-go projects. So if the city were to save money each year and then do a very large project, that entire large project would be subject to the expenditure limitation. So it doesn't allow for the ebb and flow of large projects that are cash-based. What would happen if the city of Mesa's home rule was not continued? The home rule has been in place here in the city of Mesa since 2000-2001 fiscal year. It is good for 4 years once it's approved by the voters, and it has to be renewed on a four-year basis. It has been renewed since the 2000-2001 fiscal year to date. If it were not to be renewed for the 18-19 fiscal year, it does not affect it. It would affect the fiscal year 19-20. Fiscal year. If it were not to be renewed, the city would be having to look to come within the expenditure limitation. Right now, we're estimating that to be about $200 million that would come out of the city's budget. Again, it's not money that we don't have, it's just authorization revenues we would not be able to spend because of the expenditure authorization limit. So when we look at what does that actually mean when we talk about $200 million, because a lot of people look at our budget and say our total budget is actually, that we'll be reviewing a little bit later today, is $1.82 billion going into the next fiscal year. But the expenditure limitation only applies to certain portions of that particular budget. And so when we look at that portion, the bulk of that is actually in the general governmental funds or the local street sales tax fund. So if you take a look at just those portions, that is about $475.7 million in our upcoming budget. So it would be about $200 million out of that portion of the budget, not the $1.82 billion. There are things like debt service, bond construction, grant funds. Those are all excluded. So those would not be part of the reduction that the city would be faced with. It would just be in these other items. And that's really what I have for you today. It's really just a really high-level overview. But if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Thank you. And so the item that's on our agenda today is a mandated public hearing. That's the first step in putting this on the ballot in November for the public to approve us to spend the $200 million that's been voter approved since the time that this legislation passed decades ago in the state legislature.
Correct. And Mayor and Council, there will be two public hearings. So tonight would be the first mandated public hearing. 2 weeks we'll come back for a second public hearing. And then during that agenda, Council will be asked to put it on the ballot for November. So the Council does not actually approve home rule. It is the citizens of Mesa that approve the home rule.
Right. And so this is the first of two hearings that will culminate in a vote to put it on the ballot. And that would be on the November ballot. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Thank you, Council. Any questions regarding this item? All right. Thank you very much, Candace. So we are now on agenda item 9, which I read previously. I declare the public hearing open. Ms. Mickelson, have there been any requests to speak on this item? Thank you. Do council members have any questions or concerns or comments on this item? If not, I declare the public hearing closed. There's no action to be taken on this item at this meeting. It will come back to council in a few weeks for action. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is item 10A and 10B, Both of these items deal with the same topic, which is bringing ASU to downtown Mesa. Item 10A is to take action on a resolution authorizing the development of the Phase 1 building and other improvements as part of educational facilities in downtown Mesa and authorizing a lease with the Board of Regents and ASU for the Phase 1 building. Item 10B is to take action on a resolution for the bonds on this project, including authorizing the trust agreement, continuing disclosure certificate, and an obligation purchase contract, and approving an official statement, and also approving the sale and execution and delivery of excise tax revenue obligations. Mr. Smith told me I needed to read all this, so sorry. Evidencing a proportionate interest of the owners thereof in payments to be made by the city pursuant to the agreement, and authorizing the taking of other actions necessary in connection with the excise tax revenue bonds obligations. Thank you. We do have, as I'm sure you know, many blue cards to be heard from on this item. So again, council, and we are going to combine items 10A and 10B because they are so fairly indistinguishable, I'm sure, in terms of how people feel about them. So again, thank you for being here. This is great that we have a public meeting and we have people that are here to talk about an important issue in our community. So whether you're pro or con, I just want to begin the meeting by thanking you for being here and participating in this meeting. I'm just going to take these as they were submitted to me and start at the top, but it's a pretty big stack. So I would encourage everyone to just say you are limited to 3 minutes, but feel no obligation to take 3 minutes if you feel that one or several people before you have said essentially what you want to say, so that we can just respect one another's time. The first card is Derek Brosman. So please come forward, tell us if we ask for your address. If you're not comfortable sharing it, that's fine. And then we'll begin at 3 minute clock. Welcome.
Good evening, Council, Mayor Giles. Can everybody hear me over my pink shirt? Okay, okay. My name is Derek Brosman. I live at 639 West Contessa Circle, and I am a resident of West Mesa. I live just down the street from Westwood High School, and I left Mesa for a short period, came back, and I really love Mesa. I love the city. I love where we live, the diversity of my neighborhood. And I'm proud to say that I come from Mesa, even more so now with ASU coming. So we have, in the southeast, we have Sky Bridge coming. In the northwest, we have Union coming. And in the center, we have ASU. So in my mind, we have the perfect trifecta for growth. And I know there are many other fantastic programs and projects that are out, that are coming as well. And I just want you to know I appreciate that as well. So first off, I want to thank each of you that is supporting this project. I want to thank you personally. So I appreciate the foresight, the determination that it takes to get this deal done. This is big for us. I especially want to thank Mayor Giles and his laser-like focus on bringing in development to our city. We need this. I also want to thank Mark Freeman, my council member, for his fortitude and determination in bringing in quality development to our area. We need it, and you see that, and I thank you for that. Second thing, I owned a business here in Mesa for many years, and now I have the opportunity and the privilege of supporting small businesses here. And one of the things that the ASU is going to bring is not just the gravitas that comes along with the name, but jobs. And these jobs are going to be specific to downtown Mesa, and they're going to help those that need it most. There is no doubt in my mind that bringing ASU here is going to dramatically improve the lives of the local citizens, of which I am one. And lastly, I'd like to welcome ASU. West Mesa downtown is lucky to have a world-class organization like ASU come here. ASU's artificial intelligence, virtual reality, and 3D schools are the future of our technology. This curriculum is going to provide one of the most influential and innovative schools in the entire world in our downtown. Quite frankly, it's hard for me to believe that they're actually coming here. And I can't express my gratitude enough for having them here. So thank you again, gentlemen.
Thank you, Derek. Tyler Montague.
Thank you. I'm Tyler Montague. I live at 534 North Orange Street. And I'm a lifelong West Mesa resident. And not only that, I'm a Sun Devil. I'm a double devil because I have a degree in finance and a master's in business administration. So I'm excited that they're coming. I've watched over the years as we've had a lot of projects debated, the Riverview Project, the Cubs Stadium, the Arts Center, now this. And I think the debate is healthy. I think we need people kicking the tires, looking at the numbers. I think that that is constructive. I think it makes for better projects. I don't think every project should just be rubber stamped and that we should do everything. But I think the numbers support this project. I think bringing it to the city will help not only our culture of education and our business ecosystem in the area and help catalyze additional development and renewal. It'll be something we're proud of. And so I'm glad that we're having it come. And, I think if we let our skepticism and cynicism inform us too much, we would just never do anything. And so thank you for considering this. Thank you for those who've argued over its merits. I think that's good, and I'm glad that we're doing it. And thank you.
Thank you, Tyler. Burl Farnsworth.
Burl Farnsworth, Mesa, Arizona. I have read city attorney's response to the question of conflict of interest involving Councilman Luna and Glover. To claim there was no substantial or remote economic benefit, to claim that there was no conflict because they are not currently teaching, to claim there was no conflict because the subject matter is different from the subject matter to be taught in Mesa, all of these are just excuses that could be classified as splitting of hairs. If we need to have a troop of lawyers following our councilmen around to make sure that they're not breaking the law, then we have elected the wrong councilman. I thank you at least, staff, for pointing out what we've all understood completely in this process, that they're not guilty of the conflict of interest simply because this project is speculative. I apologize to Mr. Montague for calling his survey bogus, and he has accepted my apology. He also shared with me the survey he authorized, and he had also shared the survey with the mayor. Among the questions asked was, one, would you like to see ASU come to downtown Mesa? The report was 61% in favor, yes. Another question, though, just as compelling as that question was, who should build the building, ASU or Mesa? 53% said ASU. Would it surprise you that the same 53% voted against question one in 2016? Mayor Giles, to quote you again, I will not be for the ASU building if it requires a tax increase or a utility rate increase. Since you have made that statement, you and the council have passed a utility rate increase and plan on asking for a sales tax increase, an additional bond authorization that will need to be paid with increases to taxes and utilities. The money you propose to spend on this building would defer a rate increase for utilities for over 10 years. When does the deception and the deceit end? The best disinfectant will be light, which will continue to be poured into this question. Now, knowing the citizens of Mesa rejected this proposal in 2016 and that a survey conducted in April of this year affirms that the citizens of Mesa do not want to build this building for ASU, what are you going to do? honor the trust placed in you, to represent the will of the people, and vote no.
Mr. Farnsworth, yes. Your time is up, so
couple
please
of minutes,
conclude.
Seconds. To quote Bastiat, when a portion of wealth is transferred from the person who owns it without his consent and without compensation, and whether by force or by fraud, to anyone who does not own it, then I say that property is violated and that an act of plunder is committed. I agree with Thomas Paine.
Thank you, Mr. Farnsworth.
These are the times that try men's souls. This is your time.
Thank you. Steve Hessler.
Mayor and Council, I would like to add, I did issue an opinion recently regarding the conflict of interest. And it didn't split hairs. It cited case law in the statute, including a very specific statutory exception. There's a number of statutory exceptions. One that is very common with the council is the fact that you can be sitting on a nonprofit board and also vote on that matter. And another one actually applies if you work for a state agency. I cited that specific statute, and it's applicable in this situation. I also cited specific case law. It is applicable in this situation. So as I put in that opinion, there is no conflict of interest, not by a splitting of hairs, but actually by binding precedent and specific statutory reference.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Next blue card is Mr. Steve Hessler.
Steve Hessler, 1436 West Jerome Mesa. After council agreed to proceed with the IAG, I saw it required a decision by July of 2019. I followed up with Mr. McVeigh to see if there was a near-term timeline, and I was told there wasn't any. Now the deal is being ramrodded through. An MOU requires good faith, but this should not preclude the good faith between the city and citizens. I know of no legal requirement that says this must be decided tonight. Should council proceed with the project, the steam will follow them, as they ask voters for more money in the form of sales tax, bond authorization, and extension of home rule, which enables the city to continue expanding debt and running deficits. Will citizens ask what they were not being told about these issues as well? Council members seeking re-election to this or other office now or in the future are gambling that their actions will be forgotten or explained away. That reputation for community service, which I have no reason to doubt has been sincere, you appear willing to throw away. I can't match council's civic involvement. I became involved in politics only recently as I gained a newer and deeper respect for a former government which not only allows citizen involvement but requires it when I realized I hadn't done my part. From a cost-benefit standpoint, my involvement is irrational, but so is parenting. We don't do that cost-benefit on that. I can probably stumble my way across the finish line of this life of my daughters and grandsons have a longer road. As they get older, they may ask, what did I do to preserve a foundation of constitutional government? I want to see them that my actions, successful or not, match my words. I wouldn't have had these children, nor my wife, and would not be standing here before you had my own parents not moved to Arizona over 50 years ago. We came because my father went bankrupt, in large part to the government taking away his land through eminent domain without compensating for loss of business. My father was not a model to emulate and died a broken man physically, financially, and spiritually, but I never knew him to mislead his adversaries. I'm not a perfect parent, but I try, as I assume most of you do. We spend our lives trying to install values in our children and grandchildren. Don't deceive people. Do the right thing, even if no one's looking. Don't do it just because the cool kids do it. We want our children to look up to us, but for the right reasons. Would your parents and grandparents respect you for the conduct you've exhibited on this issue? Would your own children and grandchildren? Even if they don't understand now, eventually they will. While some may admire your cleverness, some may value character more. Will you now tell them to forget all those classic life lessons, instead tell them, don't be a chump. This is how you really get ahead. This Father's Day, as they sit across from you at the swimming pool or dining table, will they look at you with fresh eyes and see a different person? Just as you can throw away the reputation you've built in the community, you can throw away the lessons you've taught your children. And for what? A legacy built on other people's money, your name on a plaque? So push that button tonight,
Mr.
and let
Hessler,
your family know what
minutes.
Your values are. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hessler. Nick Huntington.
My name is Nick Huntington. I live at 1549 East Hale Street. I've owned a business, and I get emotional. I'm sorry. I'm just like Steve Hardison. We've owned a business in downtown Mesa since September 2009.
Four.
I even wrote it down. Okay. And trust me, this time of the year has always been really hard for me as a business. The people go away. So ultimately, what I'm looking for is more people in the downtown. I'm looking for people who will come and participate in the downtown. I believe that just having ASU will bring people here. I'm pretty proud of my kids. We did something in October. We were going to close Sweet Cakes. That was a tough decision. And my son and my wife, in about a 6-hour period of time, created a new business plan for Sweet Cakes. And I invite you to come see us. We're at 21 West Main. We have 30 vendors in Sweet Cakes. People from all different Arizona, locally owned businesses that are in the downtown because of Sweet Cakes. My kids have I've had some really great experiences as of this weekend. This here is a Hydro Flask. Any of you know what that is? They are now partners with Hydro Flask, and Hydro Flask will be in Sweet Cakes. So it's really important for me to know that the city council and our mayor vote for this great opportunity for us to grow this downtown. I've seen things that we voted on and we've kind of let go away. I was going to share those with you, but I think it's really important for us as a community to vote yes for this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Huntington. Love what you've done with Sweet Cakes. Henry Haas.
Mr. Mayor. I have noted in the past that you have allowed some of those who agree with you to overdo the three-minute deal by a few seconds. And I ask that you extend that same courtesy to me today if I go over a few seconds. Mr. Mayor and Council, I'm speaking as one of the few remaining members of the elected Board of Freeholders elected to draft the City of Mesa Charter. I believe that each of the members of the Board would agree with what I say to you today. The City of Mesa has absolutely no responsibility to fund higher education. If it were a responsibility, it would have been included in the original charter. The city should not enter into any agreement to furnish a building or buildings for ASU without a vote of the residents of Mesa. I believe that signing an agreement would be contrary to the intent of the charter. You should ask the residents and property owners a question something like, should the City of Mesa mayor and should the City Council and the mayor approve the use of city funds to build a high-rise building in downtown Mesa for ASU? Or should the City Council and mayor use the available funds to reduce utility rates or pay off city debt or hire additional police and fire personnel to better protect the city residents? Or pay down the millions of dollars that need to be paid into the retirement funds? It is the responsibility of the City Council and the mayor to make decisions that will operate this city in a wise and financially judicious manner and not to saddle its residents and businesses with unnecessary debt. What you are proposing to do presumes that someone has a crystal ball to see into the future, and guaranteeing that there is nothing but huge increases in income without raising utility rates or sales tax. Looking into the future past the next year, my guess was a bit hazy, showing the downturn in the economy at some point that will cause absolute chaos in the finances of the City of Mesa. So this part of the view was just ignored. Furthermore, you probably won't be on the council, so why should you worry about such a problem in the future? Hopefully this is not someone's legacy they want to give to the city as a gift that residents will have to pay for. If it is somebody's legacy, you go ahead and pay for it yourself. I use these words sincerely. What you are trying to do is deceitful and dishonest for this council and mayor to sidestep the vote of the residents at the last election and to still attempt to fund the ASU project through the use of city funds collected from its residences, then use those funds on a project that was turned down.
I request that you vote no. Mr. Hodge, you're now on your freeholder bonus seconds. So
I request that you vote no on any ASU project as well as any other expenditures that are not needed now or in the near future. Be careful. Be financially wise. Pay off your debts. High debt is not helpful to families or businesses. There is much more that I could say, but I'll leave it at that for a future date. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council.
Thank you, Mr. Oz. Thank you for being a freeholder. We appreciate that. Jean Dufault.
I'm Jean Dufault. I live at 510 East Ingram Street in Mesa for nearly 32 years. And I, along with 19 others, submitted the only argument against the ASU project in 2016, which was defeated 81,900 and some votes to 70,000. Now, I will tell you from my personal regard, I am a registered engineer in quality in mechanical engineering, and I worked in the launch of the first satellite with a nuclear reactor on it in 1963. And then I worked at Boeing on advanced technology and went back to California to work for Douglas Aircraft as a future systems analyst, which I worked on extremely conceptual design of extremely for NASA and for the Air Force. So I have an experience of 2 master's degrees in aerospace engineering, a master's degree in business administration from USC, and I did 2 PhD work on accounting and finance. So I'm not against education. I am for education. But I cannot be for this ASU project where you fund it with people's money, and when ASU has the capacity, if they wanted to build a facility like this, which is super, because from my 32 years or 35 years of working in the advanced technology world, I'm all for technology, but not on the backs of people, especially those that have been voted against the project.
Thank you, Gene. That's
all right.
Thank you very much. Judah Nativio.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council. I rise tonight. I really put a lot of my time stake behind family. I'm probably one of the last houses in East Mesa. So I wanted to come out here tonight to share a few thoughts. I want to thank you first because you guys have done a lot of great things for our city. Going all the way out east, Councilmember Thompson has definitely supported us residents. I come up tonight not to try to argue to tell you to vote no, because I really don't think I could say anything that's going to have any other effect than what we've seen this council and the mayor vote so far. And I don't want to get in debate between social theorists like Hobbes and Locke, which we can, because I don't think that's going to do much good. We could talk about social contracts being violated. We could talk about multiple issues behind free market principles. We built a house in 2010 when no one wanted to build out there. That was a risk we took. It paid off. That's what our businesses do as well. So I understand the need to develop downtown Mesa. I understand the need to keep businesses going and being able to make a living. They have families. The other point I'd probably make real quick, and I promise I'm not going to go past 2 minutes, Mr. Mayor. The other point I do want to make is I've heard this decision be based off conservative points of economics, and I don't know what conservative thoughts, and I know some of this council and mayor stands behind some conservative thoughts with their prior votes, and they like to campaign. I believe many of you have conservative on your signs. Well, if we look at the great conservative Russell Kirk, and we look at prudence, we look at custom, and probably 7 other points that I like to go over, but it may take longer than 2 minutes. Or 1:20 at this point. So I can't do anything here tonight. I hope that the other arguments have helped. But I can do something during campaign season. I can do something during the election cycle. The one thing that I feel I am good at, and many of you know I sit on the Queen Creek School Board, and I'm in the Southeast Mesa, and with my board energy acknowledgement since 2013, we've seen one new school, a high school coming, and another elementary school coming. We ask the voter every single time to put that up. We need facilities out there, but our board would never, ever ask directly for staff to give us input, run the numbers, and then just go ahead and borrow the money to build or provide specific incentives. I know it's a totally different conversation piece. I know it's a totally different engine to build schools, but the point of the matter is the voters supported it. We build, we support the folks out there, and I just hope this council in whole supports the almost 500,000, half million residents. There's few businesses downtown. We have businesses in East Mesa, West Mesa, and by the way, we forgot the Cub Stadium was a huge, huge score and home run for West Mesa. So with that, 2 seconds, thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you, Judah. Deanna Villanueva Saucedo.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, Deanna Villanueva Saucedo. I live at 1513 South K Circle. I'm here in support of item 10A, bringing ASU to downtown Mesa. I've spoken in support of this project in previous council meetings, so here I am again urging you to vote yes. For many of the same reasons as I've said previously, Tyler, you're not the only Mesa native who is a double devil and educated. Mesa deserves this type of investment. I don't consider it a handout. Investments that have made other parts of our city great dating back decades. We lag our state and region in post-secondary educational attainment. We are not as highly educated as we need to be to attract the types of businesses that will be economically viable long-term for us to stay sustainable. We need more options, yes, even with Tempe and Poly campuses in our region. We deserve a smart, innovative idea that can attract additional investments in cutting-edge industries. An investment and legacy for my son, for my nieces, for my nephews, for the people in my family, for the underserved communities that I've worked with for 20 years. As I've shared previously, I do think it's a smart investment and a proven commodity. It can't be compared to other educational institutions that have come from other regions that don't have the kind of name power or recognition that this institution does. I don't think it was a false dichotomy to present it as an either-or in terms of public safety, so I'm glad we've put that argument behind us. Much of this comes down to a difference of opinion and political ideology. I recognize that. So you each have to vote your conscience, and I don't think any arguments here are going to change anybody's minds. However, what I do hope for our community, our residents, as well as our elected officials, is that we remain civil to one another. The petty implied threats, jokes that are more like jabs, sarcastic tone of comments, both online and in public, it's disheartening. for someone that has been raised in this community, that has lived in this community all my life, that's disheartening. It cheapens our community. It cheapens our dialogue. I expect more out of our elected leadership. I expect more from our citizens. I would hope that you would expect more from me and for others that come to speak before you. I know our community deserves a better dialogue. Surely we can have spirited debate, acknowledgments that we have differences of opinion and ideology that will never be changed no matter what's said here. But I would hope that we would act like responsible adults capable of civil discourse. I would like to think that we collectively deserve that much from one another. So I respectfully encourage your yes vote, and thank you for your leadership and your time.
Thank you, Deanna. Angie Draper.
Hi, my name is Angie Draper. I reside in East Mesa, District 6. I'm here tonight in opposition of the intergovernmental agreement between ASU and the City of Mesa. In 2016, the voters rejected the ASU plan. Now, less than 2 years later, our mayor has found a way around the voters' wishes via our enterprise fund. If this plan is wanted the way they lead us to believe, bring it back to the voters. Allow us to have a say in how these funds are used. Change the funding mechanism and let the voters decide. Don't cram it through. We continue to see our utility rates increase annually. This is compounded annually and is not sustainable for our citizens. By adding another $100 million of unneeded debt on Mesa, which will in turn burden more of our citizens in the future. One of the questions that I have is in response to Senator Worsley's stake in this plan. Is the reason he came out in support of this plan because he and his friends will profit off the sale of the land? On February 26, Senator Worsley spoke at a meeting where he expressed what this was really about, in my opinion. Let me quote him. Speaking of dollars, hard dollars, we, the group I am invested with, have invested over $20 million already on a bet that downtown Mesa is ready for what's next. I wanted to say one more thing. We need to invest in ASU, and we need this, the center of downtown Mesa, end quote. Senator Worsley and friends have indeed purchased several properties in downtown Mesa in recent years. All of these properties are within 1,000 feet of the proposed ASU campus. I think there's a group of investors, including Senator Worsley, who will profit nicely on our city's dime, the dime being provided by over 500,000 of your residents. Police and fire services are desperately needed throughout the community. I ask our council again to think outside of the box. Consider using the enterprise funds for capital needs like fire and police substations. Our emergency response time exceeds the national average, and this is unacceptable for your residents, and you should want better for us. For those running for re-election, you are being used as a sacrificial pawn by those looking to benefit off of this agreement. Mayor Giles, the question I have for you is, would you bring this forward if it was your election year? You would bring this forward, because I guarantee you would have resistance. I agree, as a constituent of Kevin Thompson, that I am not against the ASU project. I am opposed to the way this deal has been made. Bring it back to the voters. Let ASU bond and build for themselves. As I have heard a lot in the news lately, we will remember in November, so you need to vote wisely and realize you are being watched. You represent us, and you are putting your legacy in front of the voters' wills. Thank you.
Thank you, Angie. Randy McGrain.
Thank you, Mayor and Councilman. I'm Randy McGrain. I'm Chief Executive Officer for Ensemble Investments. And back at the beginning of 2016, before anybody had heard of ASU, we purchased the Marriott at the Convention Center. I'm now in the process of just visited the hotel. We're investing another $13 million in that property afterwards. And we're happy to do so. We've been in Mesa a long time. I made my first investment here in 1990. But we can't do it alone. It's a private and a public partnership. And I guarantee you, the type of use that ASU brings into downtown brings new people. And they see what I saw when we looked at that property. And if they walk into my hotel and they rent a room, that tax revenue comes back to the city. We've already seen a return on the investment you made in infrastructure around Falcon Field. Those companies came in. We reached out to them. They booked rooms. That transient occupants tax comes back into your treasury. It's as simple as that. It is not altruistic. It's an investment, and I strongly support it for downtown Mesa.
Thank you, Randy. Mike Wright.
You had to leave.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Wright left. Joshua Boyle. Mr. Wright indicated he was in support, but apparently he had to leave. I'm sorry, Joshua.
No problem. Mayor Giles, members of the City Council, thank you so much for letting us come out, be a part of this democratic process. Thank you for being a part of this democratic process. I love Mesa. I got a little teary seeing Scott Smith talk just a little earlier because my grandfather was Lamar Shelley, who was the Mesa City Attorney for quite some time here in Mesa. My family goes back five generations in this city. So again, I deeply, deeply love this city. I should have explained, my address is 1428 West Escarpa, and Mesa 85201. I had my first job at the Chevron, that's where the Taco Bell used to be, in 85201. I'm now a partner at a law firm here in 85201. But I love the whole city. I know that this whole city has so much to offer. One of the reasons I came down here is certainly I'm in support of this proposition regarding ASU. Also, though, my brother came and spoke last week. You may recall that he described his creative siblings who have gone into very creative fields, but I am the boring lawyer who am still creative by painting award-winning toy soldiers. And that is true. They are award-winning. I paint them. I enjoy it. But I'd like to point out that Bill Thompson, a.k.a. Wallace from Wallace and Ladmo, also that was his pastime, as well as Winston Churchill. And I just wanted to read a quote from Winston Churchill, which is that I never worry about action, but only inaction. And that's what I would worry about for Mesa would be is if we took, if would be inaction. We need to keep moving forward. I see this ASU project partnership as just a wonderful step forward for Mesa. As Mesa's big, it's the 38th largest city in the United States. We're larger than Miami. I believe that we do need to act like that. And frankly, I believe that Mesa has so much to offer. Sometimes Mesa seems a little bit like Mayberry. That's wonderful. So imagine if we could have that good influence on the entire world. And I think that that's what ASU and this project offers to us. I am also a double devil. I went to Arizona State University undergrad, and I got my JD at Arizona State University. I got the finest JD, I think, that you can get anywhere. I understand there may be some law schools ranked higher, but I got the finest JD here. My younger brother went to ASU doing computer programming and then went to California, USC, to get his graduate degree in doing exactly what we're proposing ASU would do down here with the 3D design, with the VR, with AI. I want ASU down here because I want my children to be able to not have to go to California to get the very cutting edge education. My brother could have attended here, and I think, again, that we can, Mesa can offer so much by allowing our children, future generations, to be able to attend the finest, absolute finest school, the most cutting edge, right here in downtown Mesa. That's going to make a difference, again, not just in Mesa, Arizona, not just in Arizona, the Phoenix Valley in general, but throughout the whole entire world. And so, again, that's why I voice my support. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joshua. Mark Yarborough.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. My name is Mark Yarborough, and I live at 2427 South Spruce in my hometown of Mesa, Arizona. Before I get started, I'd like to express my appreciation to all of you. Public figures, it's not easy. The passion that you put into the city, it's sometimes a thankless job. If nobody said it, from me to you, thank you. I'm here for one reason only tonight. I understand both sides, and I'm great that people are passionate about it. I hope they were out in 2016 when the vote happened. But the fact is, voters said no. They didn't say, well, maybe. They didn't say, well, if you change it a little bit. They didn't say, go with plan B. They said no, and we have to respect that. I chaired the Cubs campaign. That was a big thing for Mesa. Your jobs would be a lot harder had that failed. I was out for 4 months every day talking to voters. In the end, we won over 60% vote. But had it been a 51% against it or 50.1% against it, let me tell you, there was no way that I would come back as passionate as I was about it and say, you know what, we're going to build it anyway, even though you voted against it. That's not fair, and that's not right. I understand that this is a passionate project for some of you. That's great. Maybe enough education wasn't given to the Mesa voters. Do it the right way. Don't be on the wrong side of history tonight. Repackage it, educate the voters, explain the benefits, put it back on the ballot, and let them decide. Doing a runaround only creates animosity with the voters. And in the end, they hold the trump card. They can put a proposition on the ballot to limit spending. There's a lot of different things that they could do. So I would urge this council, don't rush into stuff. Think, you know, with the way that it has to be. The vote of the people have to be respected. That's the important part. And with same with the Cubs campaign, same with this facility. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm not saying it's a good idea. But when you ask voters and they've told you no, when you go around and you say, well, we're going to do it anyway, that's disrespectful to the voters, and that's not the right way to do it. So with that, I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mark. Christopher Bone. Christopher, I'm sorry. I meant to say Bown.
One out of four times isn't bad. I'm sorry. I've come down with something. I've been talking to so many people. I think they gave me something more than their support. Christopher Baum, 3027 South Pennington. It's strange to me, hearing everybody talk. I didn't hear anybody against ASU. Not one person. Keep that in mind. I implore you to think about the people of Mesa and what this means to their futures. Many people cannot afford what you're proposing. Utility rates are not the way to fund economic development, and the voters have already said no to this project. It is in these times that the convictions of a person are tested. Are you righteous? Do you adhere to your ethical principles? What are your true motivations? Tonight we will see who is righteous, who has ethics, and where your true motivations lie. I think we can safely speculate that Councilman Thompson and Whitaker will vote against this proposal. Councilman Glover has shown that he has reservations about the project, and I hope that he continues to vote this as he has in the past. It's also safe to say that Mayor Giles and Vice Mayor Luna will vote for their pet project. So then it comes down to you, Councilman Ned Edia. Will you do as you're told to do and vote for this bad deal? Or will you be righteous and adhere to your ethical principles at a time that you are being tested? Today, we will see where your true motivations lie. And please listen to Mr. Haas. Thank you for your thoughtful consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Baum. Jason Scott.
Thank you, Mayor Giles and City Councilman. I am Jason David Scott. I live at 540 North May. I moved to Mesa in 2013, and I picked that location because it's about two blocks from Sloan Park, and I'm a big baseball fan. I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan, but I'm that close to the Cubs. So I also happen to be an assistant professor at ASU, where I'm currently the interim assistant director for film in the School of Film, Dance, and Theater in the Herberger Institute for Design and the Arts. Our major has over 600 students, which combined with our sister program in film and media studies, who have about 400, makes our film programs among the largest and most robust in the country. I just want to articulate that as a resident of Mesa and as someone deeply invested in the cultural value of higher education, there are a number of reasons I'm excited about what this project means for my colleagues, my students, and even more importantly, my community. I want to emphasize that expanding our programs to Mesa really allows us to become part of a new community. And I'm not just talking about our physical neighbors or the businesses on Main Street like Sweet Cakes or the Mesa Arts Center, with which we have a sort of a programming and theoretical affiliation with. We're excited about what it might mean to embed a really dedicated and innovative academic program into an established community network of ideas makers and entrepreneurs. What I really know is that the faculty, staff, and students that I work with are incredibly hardworking and imaginative people. Our students are artists, documentarians, historians, and storytellers who thrive in environments where social connection and public engagement are embedded into the fabric of their everyday life. I saw on the City Council website, it said the Mesa City Council believes that its people, not leaders, are what makes a city great. I hope that the people that I work with have the opportunity to bring our energy, skills, and resources to Mesa and participate in that exercise in greatness that puts people and community first. And you can help make that happen by supporting this proposal. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Clint Hardison wishes to not speak, but is in support of the project. Thank you. Jeff Levine. Jeff Levine may have had to leave.
He didn't have
honors. Oh, okay, yeah, the box isn't checked, so I guess, thank you, Mr. Levine. Angel Levine.
It's me again, gentlemen, sorry. Angel Levine, Navarro, District 6. Just want to reiterate, because I again feel like this has already moved past anything any of us can say. So once again, ASU is welcome to Mesa, but you guys need to not sell us short. Mesa has a lot to offer ASU, not the other way around. $63.8 million plus interest is a lot to ask from us. We get a postgraduate building. I believe it was 740 students. What about the other campuses we have in Mesa? What about the other businesses we have? $100,000 a year? I'll take that deal. I mean, come on, guys. We're not Detroit, we're not Chicago, and we don't wanna become those cities. We don't wanna go in debt, but we need to do it in a smart way. We owe it to the citizens of Mesa to make this deal better. You wanna bring ASU? Bring them. We want ASU. That is not a problem, but we need a better deal. And if they want to threaten that if they can't get the building, they need to go elsewhere, then it wasn't meant to be. But trust the voices of your people. We were smart enough to choose you guys. You're all up here because of us. We want you here. We want you to stay. We want you to continue to make Mesa the great place that it is. But don't do it on our backs. 0.25% sales tax is coming our way for our public safety. We need it. $225.5 million was just presented on Thursday for our parks and cultural and our public safety, libraries. We need that money. If this goes through, I don't think it's going to happen. I believe the superintendent of Mesa Schools has already left the building, but $300 million for her, she's going to need that too. It's got to come from somewhere, and it needs to stay right here where we need it, not just a few people that get to benefit from it. We all need to benefit from it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Angel. Jen Duff.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Jen Duff. I'm a downtown Mesa resident, 146 West 2nd Street. I'm native to Mesa and a small business owner for over 28 years. I've seen the decline of downtown, the downtown district, for over the past 40 years, since 1980, when the US 60 moved south and Fiesta Mall opened. I don't think waiting nor hope is a good strategy for regeneration. ASU is a perfect partner to build an innovation district, create jobs for a global economy, raise our education levels to attract quality employers, and in turn raise our median income. As Deanna mentioned, Mesa, especially District 4, is lagging other districts and cities in educational attainment and average income. Mesa invested over $100 million in Gateway Airport. Land and buildings were awarded to ASU Polytech. Both were a catalyst for phenomenal growth in this area. Yet, it is expensive growth. We put in roads, utilities, a water treatment plant, Public safety personnel are needed, facilities, equipment, a new library, new parks, etc. Out of all the bonds this year, none are a catalyst for visionary growth except this one. Growth in the center. Infill projects are profitable. We have the infrastructure and we own our own utilities. The Innovation District is our opportunity for downtown to rise and generate revenues to contribute to our entire city. If we say no to ASU, what is our plan for funding future needs? More utility tax, utility rate increases and sales tax? We're taking them now and without ASU, and it's in a good economy. I see this as an investment to eliminate need for future increases. Voters said no on question one in 2016 because it was convoluted and the ASU proposal was twice the size. You can't use this as a measurement when it's not apples to apples comparison. It's not the same deal. Central Mesa is tired of merely surviving instead of thriving. The majority of our city was built by Central Mesa, funding the city's growth for over 100 years. It's time to invest back, and in return, it will benefit the entire city. A better downtown makes a better Mesa. All of us, the entire city, have been waiting for downtown to take off. After 40 years of waiting, this is our launch point. Let's not miss it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Dee Montague.
Mayor and council members, thank you for letting me speak. I appreciate you. Unlike my children, I wasn't born here, but I got here as soon as I could, and this summer I've been here 50 years. I graduated from ASU Law School. ASU was a real value then. It cost me $192 a semester to go to law school. So $160 for regular and $32 for graduate school per semester. I've had four sons graduate from ASU, two sons-in-law, three daughters-in-law. I've got a granddaughter graduated there and three grandchildren currently attending ASU. It's a great value. Bring it to Mesa, will enhance Mesa. It's a great investment. I appreciate how honest and open you have been. I don't think you're hiding. I think there's been an open forum. There's been discussion. One of the reasons we support people who support education, like Councilmember Luna and Councilmember Glover and the mayor and Councilmember Freeman in my own time of interest in it, is that they support education. We want this project. It'll help West Mesa. The survey that Mr. Farnsworth alluded to, he missed some of the factors. The people who prefer strongly or want ASU to come are 3-1 over those who don't want it to come. The vote that was taken before is different than this vote, as Ms. Duff said. People voted against a sales tax increase. And as you've heard here tonight, nobody voted against ASU, apparently. We want it. I personally would vote for it with a sales tax increase, but that's not on the table. I think it's a great value. It's a great investment. There's difference in costs and investments, and this will be an investment that will return value to all of the businesses in our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee. Cameron Jarman indicates he doesn't want to speak, but that he supports the project. Is that right, Cameron? Thank you. Also, Cassie Jarman indicates she's in support but wishes not to speak. Sean Huntington indicates he does not wish to speak, but he supports the project. We're ripping right through these. Thank you. Steve Hardison also indicates he does not wish to speak, but he supports the project. Amy Hardison wishes to not speak, but she supports the project. Richard Bagley, do you wish to speak, Richard?
I support it. I'm good.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bagley is good, supports it, and doesn't need to speak. Matt Salmon. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks a lot. Welcome, Matt. I get that a lot. Matt Salmon, 2739 East Nance Street, lived there for 21 years, and 10 years before that, over off of Higley and Brown. All my kids have graduated from the Mesa School District. I graduated from the Mesa School District. I went out on a limb and married a Tempe girl, and it's worked out okay. We've been married for 39 years. First, let me just give you a news flash. I think you're all pretty okay. You're all really decent people that very much love Mesa and want to do the right thing. I don't ascribe any bad motives to anybody, either pro or con. In fact, I know people on both sides of the fence, and I actually have really good friends on both sides of the fence. You know, I've run for office a lot of times, and I've heard a lot of candidates in their stump speeches talk about how important it is to operate government more like a business. Well, how does business operate? They look at opportunities and opportunity costs, and they look at investing in those things that are going to reap great dividends. Not so long ago, maybe a decade or so ago, the city of Phoenix decided to double down and partner with ASU and build an infrastructure in the city of Phoenix. What was it like down there in South Phoenix before they built it? It was not very fun to be there. In fact, most of us probably wouldn't have wanted to be there at night. Very unsafe. How many of you have been down there lately? What has ASU done for downtown Phoenix? It's put an energy in there like no tomorrow. Would I like to see the same thing in my own hometown? You bet I would. If we want to bring jobs to the city of Mesa, we have to look at what's going to bring jobs to the city of Mesa. As we competed recently for the Amazon facility, the Amazon 2 headquarters, the thing that we learned more than anything is that people are looking for quality of life. And when you look at what ASU does to enhance the quality of life, wherever it's gone, whether it's out at Polytech, whether it's in Tempe, whether it's in Glendale, or whether it's here in Central Mesa, it's going to be a good thing. And I really want to tell you how much I appreciate as a citizen of Mesa, you having the foresight and the tenacity to move forward. I know that one of the things that's been spoken tonight is that the citizens have spoken. The citizens have spoken on something else. And believe me, if I wouldn't have voted on anything that people had voted on before, I don't think Congress would have done anything, and that might be a good thing. But anyway, Mayor, I hope that this is something you can all feel comfortable going forward on, because I believe it's going to be very, very beneficial for these local, and you hear the passion and the emotion in their voices, these citizens who have lived and operated and had businesses in downtown Mesa, and they've been waiting for better times to come for a long time. Let's let those better times be now. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Tony Wall.
Mayor Giles and Council, thank you for the opportunity to address this issue. This is an important night for the city. It's one that I think is full of opportunity, and one that, as a developer of a significant project in downtown that's about to move forward, we appreciate this opportunity as a backstop to our deal. It's important that our investment team has seen ASU here, seen its results, seen the opportunities that it creates, and has strengthened its support of our project. I think that speaks to the overall economic development opportunity here. You've taken a big step in the leadership that you've put together in fashioning this opportunity. It's one that will have long-lasting effects for the city. It's one that will impact small business and large business in our city. The opportunity for education to impact economic development is unparalleled. We have a university here in downtown that's brought strength to downtown. We have another opportunity to strengthen downtown through an educational facility, and the opportunities will go on for years and years. I appreciate the opportunity to say that our team supports your efforts and look forward to the growth.
Thank you, Tony. Kelly Huntington.
Hello, Hello. My name's Kelly Huntington, and I am a five-generation Mesa. Grew up in Lehigh. My forefathers came and settled that area, so I love Mesa. I worked downtown Main Street 40 years ago before I was married in your building, the mayor's building. Then I worked for Max Killian. I always loved the downtown. And so because of that, I, 14 years ago, bought a business down here. So I'm with the hotel guy over here. It takes money to make money, and so I survived the crash of 08. I survived the light rail by a thread. I survived a lot of things downtown. And one thing I've noticed in the time I've been here is if you take downtown Mesa and you look at it as a strip mall, we don't have an anchor tenant. The Art Center was supposed to be the anchor tenant, but it really has not brought us that much business day and night. We need ASU to be our anchor tenant. And I know that they will bring so much business, so many people. The light rail was supposed to bring people. What I've noticed is it's bringing businesses, which will bring more people to live down here, to eat down here, to shop down here. So I'm all for it. So yes.
Thank you, Kelly. Just to be clear, I don't own a building in downtown Mesa, so I don't think
you... I'm in your building, though. I've worked in your building.
Well...
Oh. I worked in your office building, not the building.
The city of Mesa office building?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sure. All right. Yes. Okay. Thank you. All right. Just to clear up any misunderstandings. All right. Thank you, Kelly. Robert Scannelberry.
Mayor, Council, Rob Scannelberry. I live at 120 West University. I doubled down on Mesa. I also live at 412 North McDonald. I think it's nice when everybody gets up here and says thank you for coming up, but I think it's their right to come up here. So they're just being pleasant. Mr. Whitaker, thank you for your leadership on the council. It's a breath of fresh air. Councilman Thompson, good job. Mr. Glover, I've talked to close to 2,000 people in the last couple months in our district. I'm really encouraged that one of the other speakers said that this is weighing on your mind. Everyone I have spoken to, everyone, when I lay it out, as it has been laid out for us, that this will cost us money in Mesa, is a no. The most specific one was a nice lady in a trailer park, because I started my work in the trailer parks and the poorest neighborhoods. I sat there sweating because she didn't turn her air conditioning on. Her biggest thing, when I was asking her what she needs, she said she needs to be represented by APS or SRP. She said she can't afford her utilities. I don't know what her utilities are. I don't know the difference between the two, but that's her perception. The next thing, she said she just wishes that she wasn't in Mesa utility area so she could get the rebates that are offered by SRP, was what she said specifically. It kind of hit me funny at that time because I said, what you're asking for is price matching. And when we're talking about the utility rates that will come down to support this project, really come down to that. So that's the one that hit me hard. Mayor, I know where you stand. We'll just agree to disagree. Mr. Luna, please no. Mark, I really wish you'd cross the fence and come over. I wish you'd do a no also. Francisco, I only know you in passing. You seem like a nice man. No. No, 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 no. Please. I would vote no for this if it was taken back to the ballot, because I disagree with it. But I believe this is subverting the will of the people. I think they voted already. I think it's almost crazy to take it back to another vote. But the most fair thing is to take it to another vote. So, and I wish everybody would look at me and pay attention when I'm talking, like all the other speakers. Like, every one of you have given me that respect. I appreciate that. I wish everyone would do that.
Thank you, Mr. Scantlebury. Mark Lavender.
Good evening, Council, Mayor. I've talked to literally hundreds of citizens in Mesa over the last few months, and I can tell you that I have not run into a single one who has said, yes, that ASU deal, that is exactly what we want to do. Especially when I talk to them about the debt that the city has and the fact that ASU is sitting at about $1.2 billion in net assets. Let's be honest, ASU does not have a very positive view amongst many in this community because of the spiraling tuition increases. I'm getting ready to send my daughter there next fall. The other issue that we have with ASU is that, and this is probably bad timing as well, but it looked like they just published a MicroCrow getting another $90,000 raise this last year. But nonetheless, here's the bottom line, is that when you look, and I would invite everybody in this room to Google Mesa utility rates compared to other cities. Google it, and where it's going to take you, if you click that first link, it's going to take you to our Office of Management and Budget here in Mesa. So here's what you'll find. Citizens of Mesa are paying the highest rates in the valley for water. We're paying the highest rates in the valley for wastewater. If you look at the primary revenue sources for cities in and around the valley, you'll find that the primary property tax, the secondary property tax, the wastewater, the water, the solid waste, the sales tax, you'll find that Mesa is one of the most expensive cities to live in. We're actually more expensive than Phoenix, Chandler, Gilbert, and Scottsdale. What's going to happen is if we continue down this road, you're going to find people who are mobile will leave. Those who can't leave will stay, and they'll be continued to be taxed as our revenue base starts to decline. And shortly thereafter, blight starts to set in. This is generally the decay of any major American city. You can look at all the cities who've come before us. They eventually become ungovernable. So I would ask that this problem here tonight with ASU, I'd ask that you guys vote against it, simply because if ASU wants to come to Mesa, they got the money to pay for it. We should welcome them with open arms. But by no means should we as citizens of Mesa foot the bill for this, or at least half the bill for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Dave Wells.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. My name is Dave Wells. I'm an ASU faculty member for the last 20 years, the past 12 years based at the Phoenix downtown campus, and I've served on the Faculty Senate at ASU the last 4 years. I also serve as a research director for the nonprofit Grand Canyon Institute, which is not affiliated with ASU, but I'm not representing any of them tonight. I'm representing myself as a taxpayer in Mesa, where I've lived the last 4 years at 3023 South Carriage Lane in Councilmember Heredia's district. Actually, I had not known there was a renewed effort to put ASU in downtown Mesa until 3 weeks ago when the Arizona Republic wrote a story about that. And I think that's actually true for most people in Mesa. They actually probably don't even know this is going on because we don't have a media that can report things like they used to. The question one, which had numerous statements in favor of it, I was actually stunned when it actually did not pass. I voted against it because on the Faculty Senate, we heard lots of reports about ASU's grand plans, and I was pretty clear ASU didn't have a clear plan for what they were doing in Mesa. They haven't gone much beyond that today. I do understand and support the motivation to make downtown Mesa more vibrant. The HRA analysis that Jeff McGay sent me today has lots of flaws in it. Generally, when we do an analysis, we should look at $64 million and the opportunity costs, the alternative ways we could use that money. I think their assumptions are grossly inflated. Just to give you some broad ideas, what you're building here is what would be called Class A office real estate. If we assume 100,000 of that that square feet is going to ASU and the rest of it is subleased. Currently, the Metro Phoenix market, that costs $30 per square foot for a year to lease. But I'll give you a range. Let's say a low end of $12 per square foot. You're asking ASU to pay $1 per square foot. So that's essentially 1 month for what on the low end is 1 year. On the high end, it's 10 days compared to what on the commercial market is 1 year. That's a massive subsidy to ASU. And you're asking very little from ASU in return. I've been at the downtown campus. This is not anything like the downtown campus. There's residential aspects. We made the Ramada Inn residence immediately. Public programs was moved down there. Journalism was moved down there. The law school was just gone down there. Nursing came down there very early on. And my college was moved down there to provide the liberal arts focus down there. There was a much bigger emphasis down there than you're seeing here in this project. This is a much smaller project. I heard a faculty member from the film school talk here. I did not hear that, however, they're moving the entire film school to downtown Mesa. That would be more impressive in my mind, because there's a reason you can subsidize things. You subsidize things if it's going to create additional growth, bring new businesses down here because of that new thing that's down here. I don't see that in the ASU prospect. I think you need to restructure this proposal and come up with a better deal. That doesn't mean ASU can't be down here, but not with this deal. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Wells. Adam Gunderson.
Mr. Mayor and Council, thanks for listening to all of us talk about this all night. I've been to most of these meetings where this has been discussed. This is the first time I've spoken personally about it. I live at 618 West 6th Street here in Mesa. I've lived here in Mesa almost my whole life, for a little over 30 years. I've lived or worked in just about each of your districts. I now live here within walking distance to downtown, and I'm really excited about the things that are happening downtown right now. My first job in Mesa was working as a file clerk for my dad's law firm right here at 123 North Centennial. At that time, there was no art center, there was no light rail, there was not a lot going on down here, and it's been exciting to see what's been happening in the last 18 years since that happened. And each new asset that we build down here, oftentimes subsidized with public funds, creates a compounding effect where we're bringing more and more. There's been a lot of development announced recently, a lot of attention to downtown Mesa, but we're not really across that threshold yet. And so I'm grateful to see the leadership on the council in looking for something else that we can do to continue that growth. And I'm really excited for ASU. I've watched with a lot of interest as this plan has been debated. I've listened to both sides. And I'm really excited that we have this opportunity. So I would just like to add my voice in support of the proposals and encourage you to vote yes. Thanks.
Thank you, Adam. Robert Harding indicates that he does not wish to speak, but he supports the item. David Short.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. David Short, Executive Director of the Downtown Mesa Association. I'm here tonight speaking with you on behalf of my board of directors made up of business leaders, property owners, business owners in the downtown Square Mile District. Last month, the DMA board voted unanimously to bring ASU and its programs into the downtown Mesa. The DMA feels ASU will be a tremendous addition to the existing higher educational institutions that currently call downtown Mesa home, while also helping spur on other impactful developments in downtown that are much needed. We've seen a large amount of private investment in downtown Mesa over the past couple years. We've seen many new businesses open. We've seen a lot of interest from businesses that want to come into downtown Mesa. Much of this is based on ASU coming into downtown Mesa. Along with the city's prior investments in the Mesa Arts Center, Light Rail, Benedictine, the Mesa Center for Higher Education, ASU, along with these other investments, are critical pieces to helping downtown Mesa build on its current successes, and reach the potential we all know downtown has. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Sam Jones indicates he does not wish to speak, but he supports the project. Shawnee Huntington indicates she does not wish to speak, but she supports the project. Peter Costa.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. It's good to be with you guys, and thank you also for this healthy conversation. I think it's great having. It's kind of the first time I've been involved in the, really involved in the democratic process. I just kind of wanted to clarify. Oh, so first of all, I am a Mesa resident, have been for a long time, grew up coming to Mesa, and we just moved our business, which is a startup. We do virtual reality, augmented reality, and interactive media installations. And we just moved from downtown Tempe to downtown Mesa. So we love being here. So we have both an emotional attachment to Mesa just because of the environment that's here, but also objectively, we have a purpose of being down here, and that's because of ASU. I just also wanted to state just kind of there's been this discussion about whether, like, the kind of philosophy of behind this decision, independent of me actually this was even before I had our business, that I voted for Mayor Giles, and purposely in that big thick book that we get, I read it, and I remember because just the wording of it was interesting, and it said, let's build West Mesa because East Mesa, it's great and it's doing its own thing. And I remember hearing that and trusting your guidance and leadership, and I think there's a lot of people that represent my case and my feeling that we're trusting in your leadership. So what I wanted to mention really quick is just what this campus is. The associate dean of the ASU Film School, Jake Pinholster, he attended our meetups that we hold called VR for Good, that we hold every month, and I've been able to chat with Jake a couple of times about what the program is going to entail specifically, because those are things that are important for our business. It's about attracting talent. It's about understanding what is the nature of the program. Is it going to be something gimmicky, or is it going to be something that is actually going to train people that we would eventually be able to hire? So for the last 18 months, I've probably been to about a dozen conferences with virtual reality, augmented reality. I was just in Silicon Valley last week at the large augmented World Expo, and there is an incredible amount of exciting things that are happening in this technology. And this campus that is being proposed to be built is highlighting that. So if just kind of giving a brief summary, we've been in this information age. We're moving to something called the experiential age. Right now we have all of this data, and now we're developing these new technologies like VR, AR. You use, you know, the goggles, or you're going to eventually not have a cell phone, and you're going to be having stuff on your glasses that is going to be functioning the same as a phone. This is Apple already committed to making a product. We're going to be seeing it in a very short time. Basically, if we have this, this is going to be a beacon to people around the world to come. So I am in support. Wish I could say more. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. I've heard a lot about you. I'd love to come tour your business. And I know that several of us would.
All right.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you. May Costa.
Mayor and council members, I'm a Costa Mesa resident for maybe 8-7 years. I moved here from Argentina. I'm Pierre's Costa's wife, and I've been serving in the Mesa Judicial Advisory Board for the close to a year, maybe. And yes, we do own a business. We just moved from Tempe to Mesa. When we started the business, we wanted to have it in Mesa, but it wasn't very economically friendly for our budget. And we did get a better initiative to move to Tempe. But hearing this all exciting news has make a small business here and to be early with all this new development. I was doing some research because I didn't want to come here and talk about feelings. We really need to talk about what are the facts and what is this, what are the bad and the pros and cons of having this new development here. I found a study done by the Institutional Research Analyst University of Delaware. And this was done in 2003. It's called The Economic Impact of a University on Its Community and State, Examining Trends for 4 years later after the university got there. It talks about the economic impact in the local business. In a summary, most of the local business are very dependent in a university. Most of the business owners stated that if it wasn't because of the university, they wouldn't have any business. We have three girls. Every time we want to come downtown, is after we get home from work, and you know, after 5 p.m., we come to Santa Mesa, and most of the businesses are closed. So we can't do anything. So we have to go outside of Santa Mesa to find an open business to bring our little family in there. Having the university here, it's a no-brainer that it will bring more, you know, consumer-based for small business, for bigger business, and it's going to make the downtown more attractive to other bigger business that we wish we had. Also, you know, thinking about future generations and the opportunity that of them being able to not have to leave our state or city to acquire higher education is just a no-brainer. And last, this study talks about the economic impact, and it says the estimated overall economic impact of the University of Delaware is approximately $735 million, that is more than four times the value of the state's annual investment in the University of Delaware. So this is just a study of one university, is a reality. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, May. The final card I have is Bonnie Hickman. Bonnie?
Hi, good evening, Council. My name is Bonnie Hickman, and I am a native Arizonan. I've been a resident of District 6 for the last 23 years, and 85209 is my zip code. I absolutely love the changes that I've seen down here in Mesa. Just the changes like the light rail, how nice it is to come down and see the things going on down here. I think it's terrific to have the idea of having ASU in our downtown area, because it will bring people down here, and it brings education here. And I love education. The main reason is I'm a sixth grade teacher. I have been for 29 years. I teach in Gilbert. And actually, after the interesting experiences a couple months ago in downtown with the Red for Ed, I am actually now on the Republican primary ballot for LD16. And I am very concerned, though, because when I was downtown, and it was really my first exposure to government other than, you know, teaching it from a textbook, I learned things that I couldn't believe were legal. Or if they were legal, they just did not seem right. And I understand the idea of the conflict of interest, that basically it's not supposed to benefit those people who are voting. It's part of the reason that I'm going to run a clean elections, because I don't want anybody to say anybody owns me. I understand that with legal jargon and whatever, anything can pretty much be justified. I mean, I work with sixth graders. They can justify anything. But when it comes right down to it, I think this is more about how does it look. And if people were asked 2 years ago to vote on this, and then it's pushed through without another vote, it's just concerning, because it looks like you knew what they wanted, but you didn't like the answer, and so you switched it. And if it's something that you want to do, then don't ask. But if it's something you really want people's opinion on, because I think what's happening is that we, the people, are starting to pay attention. And we're starting to get frustrated with the fact that when we're saying it, people aren't listening. And I know 53% isn't a very big majority, but it's a majority, and that's the way we're founded. And maybe what it comes down to is just more education for the people to know what it is you're voting. Do I think having ASU down here would be phenomenal? Yeah, I do. But I have a concern about the way it's being done and that it's being done so hurriedly that it kind of just seems like it's being pushed through. So I just ask you to consider how it appears, especially to those of us who have just now started to pay attention. And we just really thank you, though, for your service and for the things that you have done to help Mesa be the city it is that we love living in. Thank you, sirs.
Thank you, Bonnie. I misspoke. I had one card that lacked a name, and I can see when I announced that the cards were gone that Mr. Hutchinson spoke up and said I'd submitted a card. So he did submit a card. And Mike, I know you haven't been to very many city council meetings, so it's an easy mistake to make.
Ain't democracy great? You know, I wear a few hats. I had a long career with the city of Mesa. I resided at 4042 East Hope Street, lived here for 40 years. So I was a city employee, and more lately, I've done community volunteer work. So I've seen hundreds of decisions in this building. Hard decisions. Debate a lot more acrimonious than tonight. And so first thing I want to say is thank you for your service. I've worked for lots of councils. They all didn't agree, but they all agreed that we wanted to make Mesa a better place. And the thing that I was proud of is that our council wasn't afraid to invest in the future. So education falls into that area. When I worked for the city of Mesa, and it's still going on today, the thing we talked about all the time was our great public school systems, our community college district, and then when ASU decided to build a campus at the closed Air Force Base, we were thrilled that we could have that investment in our community. So that's been a longstanding commitment. It's one that I work in other cities in East Valley, and all the cities in the East Valley are talking about education, improving their education system, attracting higher ed to their downtown. So you're doing what most people are doing. It's a wise investment. Downtown's really hard work. It's painful, and it's painful everywhere that you go. I don't think we're unique because it's just hard work. It's hard work for the people who have businesses down here. It's hard work for the city staff that tries to develop positions that a council can accept and move forward with. So I support both these items tonight. Keep investing in your downtown. It will pay dividends. It's a wise investment. The other thing, I think you've done a pretty good job investing throughout this community. This is a great community to live. People are coming here at higher numbers than ever. People, and that's because you and the council have made decisions throughout the community. But there needs to be special attention paid to the downtown. And the councils have done that for years, and I hope you'll continue to do it. Don't let this opportunity pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. That concludes the blue cards that have been submitted. Is Mr. Penholster still available? Mr. Penholster, please come forward. I think it'd be good for us just to get a recap of what it is exactly we're talking about. What is the proposal what is ASU going to do? We've talked about a building, but what is it that the purpose of this building would be?
Sure. Mayor, Council, thank you for having me tonight. As you mentioned, I'm Jake Penholster. I'm the Associate Dean. I'm the Associate Dean referenced by Peter Costa in the Herbert Grant Institute for Design and the Arts at ASU, and I've been one of the sort of academic programming leads on this program. Is it possible for me to get the presentation that we had preloaded brought up on the screen? While we're waiting for that, I have a few points I wanted to make that I think haven't been said enough. I'm not qualified to speak to whether or not this is a wise decision for the city of Mesa on an economic basis or from a voting perspective, but I will say one thing that we haven't talked about is that when the vote, question one on the 2016 ballot was denied, aside from all the other changes that happened to remove it from public safety and all the other pieces, the other thing we did is completely go back and rebuild the program for this building. So it when the program that was on the ballot in 2016 was largely focused on performing arts and film as it was looked at as an arts form or entertainment form. And we went back and in consultation with members of the community, some of whom have spoken here tonight, people in the professions across technology, gaming, entertainment, and beyond, and also across ASU, and designed a totally new program. Jeff, can I take that as a signal that we will not be able to get that presentation? Okay. Thank you. We went out and designed a completely new program. We reduced the scope hugely, and we've got a program that we've built that's specifically focused on being a centerpiece for the Digital Innovation District. Thank you. And the opportunity we're trying to take advantage of, both for ASU and on behalf of the city of Mesa and its community, is that there's this point which we're at in the development of technology, entertainment, culture, economy, that says, as Peter mentioned as well, that we're at this transition in an age between information and experience, and that almost every industry now relies on the tools that have emerged, at least in part, from film and gaming and its related disciplines. The ability to see the future before you build it, to prototype things, to be able to experience something before you're actually inside it and you've spent all the money on it, to sense where things are in space and to translate the digital to the physical and back again. All of these technologies will be addressed in this building. They'll be addressed for our undergraduate film program. Another thing I want to clarify tonight is that the entire undergraduate film program will have experience in this building. But also from the standpoint of engineering, from the standpoint of city planning, urban design, from the standpoint of industrial design, all the programs in this building.
Excuse me, Jay.
Yes.
Mayor, I have to ask our city attorney, because on the agenda, we don't have anything on the agenda for presentation by ASU. We don't have anything agendized, and there was not a blue card pulled on this.
Okay.
Right.
So I just want to make sure that this is legal.
Mayor and Council, yeah, that you can give presentations, and in fact, many times you'll give presentations either by staff or by others, both at study session and at council meetings. And as council knows, the mayor runs the, as far as the rules of procedure, the mayor governs the rules of procedures.
So I thought it would be good just to please be brief, Jake, but
I just
wanted people to know what it is we're talking about. So give us a brief description of that.
Yeah, absolutely. The last thing I'll just sum up with is that this is what we're really shooting for, a place where students, researchers, companies, and communities can design new futures, tell new stories, and solve big problems. It's not just a film school. It's not a place where kids who play video games can come and hang out. This is a place where technology innovation is at the core of everything that we do. And we really want this to be a vital resource for the city, and we want to serve it more than just as a place where our students come to undertake academic programs. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jake. It's now time for council comment, but there are a couple of questions that have been raised that, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask for some clarification from staff on. Mr. Smith, and these are questions that have been discussed earlier in our various study sessions on this topic. Mr. Smith, the question was asked multiple times tonight, why do we not put this back on the ballot? And that's an issue that you have given us legal advice on previously. Is an advisory question, if the caveat, you know, is this new proposal, that the last time this was on the ballot, it was a sales tax question. Now there's no sales tax, no utility rate increase associated with it. It's just an advisory opinion. Is that the type of thing that we could legally put on the ballot?
Mayor and Council, and the reason why I was on the ballot last time, just as a reminder, is because it was a sales tax increase. That's how it was able to be put on the ballot. I'll read you something that's from the League of Arizona Cities and Towns, because this question keeps coming up, and so I'll read it directly from them. The council may not voluntarily submit a measure to the people in the absence of a referendum petition, except in the case of proposed amendments to the charter in a city charter city or where referral is required or specifically allowed by statute. And so the idea that you can just simply refer some question is one citizen gave multiple of different type of questions. Municipalities just don't have that authority that was established by case law back in Scottsdale in 1968. This is the league's manual from this year. It's been the case law since then. And so you just don't have that authority. The state has broader powers. The state has not granted those broader powers to municipalities. And so municipalities aren't able to do what is commonly referred to as advisory opinions.
Okay. Thank you. And again, this topic has been discussed in multiple council meetings. But Mr. Brady, the financing proposal that staff has submitted for us to take advantage of this opportunity, does it include any type of reliance on raising sales tax, raising other taxes, raising utility rates? Is that part of the calculation for us to pay for this building?
Mayor, when we came to the council at the beginning, I think we explained to the council when we assessed how we would finance this, we determined that in our economic investment fund, which has always been the fund that we use to seed opportunities for the city that will leverage additional resources in the future, we determined that the economic investment fund could be able to absorb this payment, and that over time the investment would more than cover the cost, and that it would not require an additional utility rate increase to cover the cost of this facility.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Brady. Mr. Whitaker.
Is that for the entire 20-year life of the bond that we're taking out?
What's the question?
Will utility rates not be affected at all for the next 20 years?
Councilmember, we only will budget and make a determination each year at a time. We do projections on...
Hey, folks, we don't do that here, okay? If you're going to be disruptive of the meeting, you'll be asked to leave. So please be respectful.
So we have forecasted periods for the utilities going out several years. But as we were able to find the capacity with additional revenues and savings, and in relying upon the fact that we believe this investment will generate outside of utilities, sales tax, and permit fees, at this time, we don't believe that it by itself was increasing a rate increase. Matter of fact, in our projections, I think we've shared with the council multiple times that the rates that were anticipated for this year are less than they were a year ago when we presented the budget to the council. So actually, we've reduced the utility rates from what we projected in the past year.
We also increased the projected utility rates for the next 4 years after that, correct? The rates had to be adjusted somewhere, and we budget for a 5-year period, so we may have decreased rates this year, but that just makes the forecast go up for years 2 through 5.
I'll let Candace answer that question. I don't believe that we've increased rates out into the future to accommodate this. So again, just like we did for, and I think everybody wants to make this the exception, this is the city's practice has been for years. We've invested in Benedictine out of the same enterprise fund. We've invested in many other enterprises because we realize that they will benefit the city and bring additional revenues beyond the cost of the payment to the city. So we've done this several times and with great success.
Mayor and Councilmember Whitaker, what you're referring to is our forecast for the utility rates. And the staff recommendation that came forward to council this year was the exact recommendation that we came forward to last year when there was no ASU project on the books or even being considered at that time. We didn't change our recommendation. What the council did give us direction on is they wanted to edge into the rates a little bit slower. And so the rates adopted, the adjustments adopted for 18-19 were a little bit less than what staff recommendation was. And what that does is increase years 2 through 5, if you're correct, with the ending result being the same in years 5.
And so I think it's pertinent to talk about the our savings account, right? So we've projected for the next 5 years in our budget, and on that we draw down our reserves to the minimum allowed amount at 8.1%. Is that correct?
Mayor, Councilmember Whitaker, out in year five and year six, I think we actually go out to year 6 or year 7 in this particular forecast, and we're currently forecasting an 8% reserve balance.
So today we have a 25% in our reserve savings account. At the end of year 5, it's projected to be at 8%, which is the minimum, right?
That is the scheduled drawdown. It is scheduled, and that's why we do smoothed rates. The goal is to have the revenues needed in year 6 in order to pay our already scheduled debt service payments and our operations. And so smoothing the rates over time actually allows us to do that.
Sure, but it does draw us down to the minimum amount in our savings account. That's where the costs are being absorbed. But
Mayor and Council, that was actually direct. Councils in past have been concerned about reserves where they stood, and we've been asked to try to keep those reserves at within a range of 8%. That's what the direction of the council in the past has been in order to not put pressure on rates. And so we've done that. But that doesn't mean that, you know, 5 years ago, we probably had the same projection that this year was going to be at 8%. But instead, it's going to be at 20%.
Correct.
So
it's actually so that when we go look at our forecast this year compared to last year, our forecast is a standing better in our enterprise fund. This particular project has had no impact on the staff recommendation for utility rate adjustments or the fund balance reserves.
In the next 5 years?
In the next 5 to 6 years, which is our forecast period. That forecast period is updated each year. It's a rolling 6 to 7 years.
And the bond is 20 years at $5 million a year.
Yes, and we'll be glad to give you that projection, but if you can, you know, that's how we've done that at 6 to 7 years. We know the debt service going out, but we're comfortable that each year we roll that. We have a rolling 5 to 6 year forecast, and we've been able to make those payments. And remember, we're getting focused on utilities. We've talked about this before. We don't anticipate that we're going to fund 100% of the cost of the payment for this building from utility rates. It most likely will come from sales tax, permit fees, because it's going to generate additional income well beyond utilities. Utilities is just the place, the enterprise fund is where we place this so that everybody can see it. But in the past, we've generated much more revenues beyond utilities. So we don't expect the utility rates to carry the full burden cost of this. We expect that there'll be, as we see development come to Mesa, downtown Mesa specifically, those revenues will help offset the cost.
My only point is 75% of the cost of this project isn't being allocated for anywhere. That's you're only projecting out 5 years. If you take out a bond for 20 years and you say, I can tell you I'm going to pay for the next 5 years, but I can't tell you how I'm going to pay 3 years, 5 through 20, I think it's unfair to say that that isn't going to ever affect the utility rates, because nobody knows what's going to happen after year five. And in that, we've completely drawn down our savings account from this year to year five to the minimum allowed level of 8%. From 25% today down to 8%. I mean, we spend more money than we take in our revenues, and it's projected in the next 5 years that we're going to spend more money every single year for the next 5 years than what we're taking in revenues. So what do you do when you draw your savings account down to the minimal amount after year five? The money has to come from somewhere. But And this notion that, oh, well, we'll get money from sales tax. The part that I find most troubling about saying we're getting the money from the sales tax, we just had to vote to increase our sales tax by 14% in order to fund public safety, which will be on the ballot in November. So to make this argument that the general fund is so, you know, flush with money that we just have revenues to spend on this project after year five, I completely disagree with that.
And Mayor and Councilmember Whitaker, I would like to also just kind of mention that again, that forecast of drawing that reserve balance down was scheduled. It is not any different this year than it was last year. It's actually in a better position this year than it was last year. And there was no ASU project on the books or being considered last year.
Sure. ASU's amortized over 20 years, though. That's my point.
Thank you, Candace. Council, it's now time for comment and discussion. Mr. Luna?
Mayor, I'd like to go ahead and make a motion to adopt authorizing development and construction of a multi-story building and the improvements to be developed, constructed by the city as part of a certain educational facility in downtown Mesa, and authorizing the city manager to enter into a lease with the Arizona Board of Regents on behalf of Arizona State University for Phase 1 building and 10B, authorizing execution and delivery of the agreement, trust agreement, continuing disclosure certificate, and obligation purchase contract, and approving on official statement, approving the sale and the execution and delivery of excise tax revenue obligations evidencing proportionate interest of owners thereof, and payment to to be made by the city pursuant to the agreement and authorizing the taking of other actions necessary in connection with the excise tax revenue obligation.
Can we comment on this before we motion to? Nobody on this council has said a single word yet.
I don't know if you heard me, Mr. Whitaker, but prior to him making the motion, I invited council to make comments.
I assumed we were still in the comment phase. I didn't realize we were moving forward with a motion. I would like to take 1 second.
Mayor, I call for a question. The question on this motion.
Okay, motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
All right.
Wow.
Whitaker, would you have something to go ahead?
And I'm just saying it's telling to push the project to push that through without any comment.
Would you like to make a comment?
I would. Can I?
Please. Yes.
So. My comment on this project is if I didn't look at the financial cost and who's actually paying for this project, then I would agree with everyone that came out tonight to speak in support of this project. However, the fact remains that someone has to pay for this, and our water rates are double than Gilbert's. Double. This leads to my opposition to this project. This project is being funded on the backs of the hardworking people in Mesa who struggle to make ends meet, and it's doing this through their water and electric bills. In addition, 81,000 voters rejected this idea in 2016. It will be said that this is not the case, and the voters rejected the sales tax increase associated with this project. I've heard from constituents that their vote was against sales tax money going to ASU. So saying it was a vote against the sales tax increase is clearly not the case for all the voters. Given that bonds for this project are 20 years, and we only budget for the next 5 years, there's no guarantees that this project will not increase utility rates after the fifth year. In fact, at the end of year 5, we are only projected to have paid 25% of the cost of the building, the other $75 million still outstanding, making the problem worse. We will have drawn down a reserve to the minimum balance of 8%. The other claim that's been made, well, perhaps the fund in the future years will come from our general fund. We just voted to increase the sales tax by 14% to fund public safety out of our general fund. We also voted to amortize the public safety retirement debt to 25 years from 20 years. If we were doing so well financially, this would not be necessary. This is all summed up nicely in the fact that our debt has increased by 53% compounded over the last 10 years and will sit around $1.8 billion. This, along with increasing our utility rates by 56% compounded over the last 10 years, is simply unsustainable for our citizens. For these reasons, I'll be voting against this project.
Thank you. Mr. Heredia.
Yep. So over the last 6 months that we've discussed this investment in the downtown, there has been three different themes that, for me, through conversations with residents, with small business owners, with folks around this community, have kind of shaped my decision on this investment. One is the financial piece. I think we've discussed a lot around the financial. When we look at these types of investments, and they're investments for a reason, we evaluate not only the cost, but we also the potential return on investment these decisions will have. And it's funny to see that my colleagues don't acknowledge the return on the investments as much as the cost, right? So when we look at costs, you know, we talked about that. The direct revenue for this, we recently got a study session meeting where it was highlighted that we would get 7.4, a conservative figure, million of direct revenue off utilities. The indirect economic growth that this will have also is not mentioned, and it's been ridiculized, it's been pushed aside, but the numbers state over $1 billion over the next 10 years, $100 million over each year over the next 10 years of economic growth potential that this investment will have. But as a government, I firmly believe we're not just here to make a profit or get the best ROI for something. We have to look at these things much broader, which leads me to my second point. The opportunity potential that we have as for this investment. If we're proactive and forward-thinking, the type of learning that we will be happening here will result in endless opportunities for us in the future. To have a hub of where students, professors, nonprofits, our public schools, learning and growing the future technologies of this society is exciting to think about for me. To,
This could essentially set us up as a leader in innovation and technology for the future, not only in this state, but this country, as it was mentioned by a resident here. To my third point, the value and tone this investment sets puts it at both the now and the future. The opportunity we provide current and future generations to not only grow up here, also study here, and work afterwards, you cannot quantify that. Again, these decisions and investments we make as a government are much bigger and broader and cannot be looked at with blinders on. As I believe that initially the conversation of this investment was a genuine discussion of what were the potential costs, what kind of courses ASU was thinking about having here, and among other things that we debated over the last 6-7 months, the conversation has now evolved into misinforming the public that this is directly raising utilities, equating this decision to question one in 2016 election, conspiracy theories, and now most recent, the use of this as political attacks and personal attacks because your colleagues disagreed with you. This is truly an unfortunate state of this conversation now, but I'm still optimistic that when we look at the merits of this investment, what it will do to spark a downtown that is in need of such a spark, while we continue to bring additional innovations and forward-thinking ideas across the city, along with West Mesa, I will continue to work hard, and I trust city staff, I trust our young innovators in our community, I trust our small businesses, I trust ASU, and I trust the many others that this decision will touch, that we will work to build an even greater return for our city and ourselves. And that's why I support this investment for our city, and hopefully we can work towards the future to ensure that we create the next Mesa, that we improve upon the decisions that we're making today and into the future generations for this city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Redia. Other comments?
Thank you, Mayor. I don't think I've seen Councilmember Heredia that fired up before. It's great. Thank you. Passion. You know, I think the only thing that I don't agree with two things I didn't agree with in your statement, return on investment is a risk. It's the same as me saying I'm going to buy a house. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to buy a house and I hope I'm going to hit the lottery and I'll be able to pay for it. It doesn't make sense from my perspective. The other thing that I disagree with is the citizen statements. You know, right after question one, and I always compare it back to question one, because right after question one failed, I immediately went out into my district. I met with constituents. I still do. I ask them time and time again, why did you, you know, how did you vote? Why did you vote the way you did? In my opinion, and this is coming from the constituents that I'm hearing from and I'm talking to out in the district, they're telling me if you would have split this question and you would have had a public safety sales tax and an ASU sales tax, I would have voted for public safety hands down. I would not have voted for ASU. But because ASU was tied to it, I voted no. I heard that time and time again. For me to disregard my constituents, for me to turn a blind eye and say, this isn't, they didn't vote for you know, no on a sales tax, is just, to me, it's ridiculous. I will continue to be the voice of the people that elected me to represent them. I wholeheartedly support ASU. I have no grudge against ASU. I think they're a great university. I think they can be transformative for our downtown. However, my constituents are telling me no. And so I will do what the people that elected me to do, and I will vote no on this. And perhaps that's one of the only reasons that I'm running unopposed. I'm the only single person on this council that's running unopposed at this point in time. And that's because I listen to my constituents, and I hear their voice, and I will continue to vote how my constituents ask me to vote.
Other comments? Folks, we really don't do that. We delight in a diversity of opinion, but we don't disrupt meetings and we don't turn this into a pep rally. Other comments? Mr. Luna.
Yeah, one of the things about ASU is going to be transformative in the downtown area. I look forward for ASU to come in. I've worked in education for 40 years, and my educational peers are really, really excited about ASU coming to downtown Mesa and the difference it's going to make. You know, I pose this question to my constituents as well. And what they've told me is that they want to come to downtown Mesa, but there's not a whole lot to do. I've been hearing that for 5 years since I've been in the city council. We love Mesa, but there's no connection to downtown. We need an education. We need a spark. And the spark is getting ASU in the downtown Mesa, because that's going to be the catalyst for change. Because of that innovation, because of that excitement, we've seen the transformation in many communities throughout the United States. We've seen it in Phoenix. We know we will have a transformative downtown, and which is really exciting for me. It's going to spark imagination. It's going to spark economic development and many, many opportunities. And I'm really excited that the students of this community will have the opportunity to attend one of ASU's finest schools, the Herberger School of Film, and I look forward to that. So I will be supporting this.
Thank you. Other comments? So we have a motion made by Mr. Luna. I apologize. Was there a second on that motion?
I second.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Prior to the vote, let me just say that this is actually a very, very exciting proposal. This is an opportunity that our city gets only rarely, and it's an opportunity to develop high-wage jobs and to substantially give a shot in the arm to our economy, not just downtown, but throughout our city. Mesa has always invested in itself. I had the privilege of serving on this council in the mid-1990s when the Air Force handed the keys to Williams Air Force Base to the city of Mesa. I remember at the time feeling something like the dog that caught the car. We think this is a good thing, but we don't really know what we're supposed to do with this. And over the course of my council service in the mid-90s, we had many meetings like this where people would come in and object to the tens of millions of dollars that the city of Mesa was investing in the Gateway Airport area. And we did that because we knew that there was potential. We knew that it would likely pay a strong dividend for us in the long term. We knew that if we invested in ourselves, that that was a good idea. Well, I think the wisdom of that investment is now self-evident. There are over 11,000 jobs in that area. There's an annual economic impact of the Gateway Airport of in excess of $1.4 billion each year. And there are many other examples like that where our city invested in itself, reaped a return. The math in this situation, we've had multiple meetings on it, but the return on this investment exceeds the investment. This is a good rate of return for the city of Mesa. This is not a losing proposition by any means. And I would submit to us, if not this, then what? What is the cost of not proceeding forward? Our neighboring communities, Tempe, Chandler, Gilbert, are investing in their communities. Those are the types of cities like nationally Austin and San Francisco and Salt Lake and Denver, where our children are going to go to have jobs. The reason that I am the mayor of Mesa, Arizona, and the reason I stepped away from my law practice is because I care about this community. I want to see good things happen here. If we don't take advantage of these types of opportunities, Mesa, Arizona is going to become the city where my grandchildren come back to visit me. They're going to have to go to these other more progressive cities that are willing to invest in themselves to find the jobs that they're going to need to sustain themselves. That's not what I want for our community, and I hope that's not what you want for your community. This is going to set us up for future generations. It's going to be a legacy that all of us are going to leave to future generations. And much like Gateway Airport, we're going to invest in it, and it's going to pay a big dividend. So I am not just in favor of this motion. I am enthusiastically in favor of this motion. And think that this will be looked back on, much like many of the investments that we've made over the course of this city, as a very wise decision. So we have a motion and a second. Please cast your vote. Thank you. Motion passes 5-2 with Mr. Thompson and Mr. Whitaker voting nay. We do have other items on our agenda today. Thank you. If you aren't interested in paying attention to the rest of the meeting, we'll understand. But please do your best to not be disruptive as you leave the meeting. Thank you very much. The next item on our agenda for this meeting is items from citizens present. And so I will now... Yes, I'm sorry. I know it's impossible to be completely silent as you leave. So maybe we'll give you, if you want to vacate, we'll give you 30 seconds or so to do so. Thank you. All right, thank you. The next item on our agenda is item 11, items from citizens present. Ms. Mickelson, I have three requests to speak. The way this is agendized on our council agenda is that we do hear from three people, but I see that we're being passed a fourth. And in the spirit of hearing from everybody, we'll go ahead and do that. First person we'd like to invite forward is Patricia Black. Patricia, please come forward. You have 3 minutes.
Good evening. My name is Patricia Black. I reside at 136 North Pomeroy, District 4, I believe. I'm a first-time homeowner. We're a new family. We moved in about 3 years ago. My husband and I have a 2-year-old, and as of 3 weeks ago, a new son. We had been looking at some different communities when we were looking to buy our first home, and we chose Mesa. Much against a lot of recommendations from some folks who kind of have a bit of an idea of the stigma of Mesa, higher crime. You know, we were just advised mostly about that, not only from some friends, but also from our realtor. So we were determined, I was especially determined to prove them wrong. So we moved into the home. It's a family community. It's in Wilbur Historic District. A couple of days ago, I was advised that there is a halfway home that's actually being planned with 5 to 6, which is uncertain, 5 to 6 recent parolees slated to move in. It's a huge concern, I'm sure you can understand. Having, you know, 2 very young children, it's a concern about a first-time investment in a home. Our property values... are uncertain, as are, you know, any funds for improvements that we've already put into the home. So my main concern tonight, I had been advised the city is aware that this project's been happening. Being that we are a historic district, we are small lot homes. My house was built in 1923. A lot of the residents on our street have been there, you know, since probably the 50s, or know the families who have. I'm mainly concerned because I don't know, are we zoned for group residents like this? We are single family homes, we're small. It is a very quiet community as of now. We do have a park, a memorial park directly across the street where we do have a large number of transients kind of coming and going, trying to take up residence there. I'm concerned that that's going to increase. I don't want to have to give up on Mesa and move our family away. We were planning on doing some improvements to our house, you know, as far as an addition and setting down some real roots. But at this point, if this does go through, I'm feeling a bit foolish. We didn't listen to the warnings that we were given. And I'm just really concerned that we'll lose out on our home's property value and any equity we may have built. And we may have to end up looking at neighboring cities. So I just wanted to call that to your attention tonight and anything the city can do to look into that further. It is a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom home for 5 to 6 parolees, so which will be sleeping about 50 feet away from my daughter's bedroom. So thank you. I appreciate anything you can do to help.
Thank you, Patricia.
Thank you.
Joseph Valenzuela.
Mayor and council members, good evening. My name is Joseph Valenzuela. I live at 140 North Pomeroy Street. It's a little street right behind Station 1. I take care of my mother, who is 93, and my two grandkids, who are 8 and 6. My neighbor to the north have just built a brand new house. They're building the house to take care of their mother, who lives at the next house down on the corner. And they also take care of their 4-year-old granddaughter. My neighbor to the south, which is Trish, has a 2-year-old and a brand new baby boy. The city is now allowing a halfway or transitional house in the middle of our neighborhood. How can the city allow this? This is a historical neighborhood with single-family homes. There are already 5 facilities less than a mile from us, 2 of them on Hibbert Street. It's just down the block. I thought you were trying to build up the original square mile of Mesa, but it doesn't look like that because there's just too many transitional houses in the area. You are making us a prisoner of our neighborhood. Pomeroy Street was a safe, family-oriented neighborhood. Now we will have to take extra security measures. The neighborhood does not feel safe anymore. Since the owner of the halfway house stated that 5 to 6 felons will be living in this 816 square foot home with 2 bedrooms and 1 bath, this type of facility has no business in our neighborhood. I'm sure you wouldn't want a halfway house in your neighborhood right next to you. I'm sure you would work on amending the laws right away if this happened to you in your neighborhood. This will only add to the overwhelming calls to the police department that are already being called on Hibbert, where there are 2 of these houses. Not only is this making us less secure, our home values have just dropped a minimum of 20%. Would you buy a home or a house next door to a halfway or rehab home? I don't think so. The governor just signed SB 1465 with the regulations that can be implemented on this type of housing as of now. Why can't Mesa put a ban or hold until they research this issue? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Valenzuela. Anita Duncan.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Anita Escobedo Duncan, Anita Escobedo Duncan, and I grew up in this neighborhood. My mom lives at 263 East 2nd Street, and we're a bit of gypsies right now while we're waiting for our home to be finalized. And we will be moving into our home when the 5 or 6 felons, drug addicts, recovering drug addicts, I don't know who because we haven't been told, are moving into their home as well. And excuse me for being emotional. This is my neighborhood. My mom was born in Lehigh. Her dad bought 148 North Pomeroy. That's where we're building. My dad built 263 2nd Street, where my 89-year-old mom currently resides. And I am wondering, as I sat back listening about the pros and cons of ASU and revitalizing downtown. We live in Square Mile. We have a new family who chose to live in the Square Mile. You want to revitalize the Square Mile downtown. But I think we're missing something, not just business, not just ASU, not just growth in that way. We're missing the basic roots of the people who live there and bringing in new families who want to set down roots and build there. Our historic neighborhoods should be the gems of the crown that is downtown that you want it to be. And you need to help us out. We need rules, regulations for these places. Just as we have gone and talked to our neighbors, we've seen, we've heard. Come and sit on our front porches. Come and see the transient, the homeless that ride through our neighborhoods. We have bus stops at the corner of 2nd Street and Pomeroy, Mesa Drive and 2nd Street. We know of two incidences where our children have been frightened there because of people who've scared them. And my mom's house is a safe house for them. And they've gone back to running back to their homes. This should not be allowed. I'm frightened for them. I'm frightened for ourselves. I'm frightened for Joe's mom, my mom, who's chosen to stay there. You need to help us out with rules and regulations that other cities have put on their books. I've noticed on your website that the city council has strategic priorities, and the first one being community safety. And as I've looked at that, it states in part, building communities that are safe, healthy, and welcoming. We welcome people who want to contribute to our neighborhoods. But letting these houses into our neighborhoods, is that making us safe? No. Is that a healthy environment? No. To raise children who want to, families who want to put down roots. And I'm be very quick here. The second priority was transforming neighborhoods and states in part that people want to have.
Anita, you're a little over your time, so if you could wrap it up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, anyway, I want to invite you to walk with us through our neighborhood to see what's happening, to talk to the residents, to see what they see, sit on our front porches.
Thank you very much. Janice Genevoix.
Good evening. Thank you for your service to this city. And I wanted to thank Councilmember Thompson and Councilmember Heredia for responding to my email about this issue. In the last few months, we had Ares Foundation set up 5 to 6 beds on Hibbert Street. And then we've come and talked to you. And in your responses, I appreciate the years that you've put into this issue, and I understand that the logic of our attorneys waiting for HB to see if there are any litigations or lawsuits that come from it, and I think that's reasonable. But I also think that the city lawyers should consider lawsuits coming from your own citizens and your own neighbors and your own constituents. If one of us gets robbed, shot, raped, murdered, I have 6 felons in front of me and 6 opioid addicts behind me now. And I just want to remind you that the neighbors, the people who live in these historic districts, we volunteer at your libraries, at your museums. We work for the city. We contribute to your boards. And we, and Mr. Giles, the last time we spoke, you asked me, Janice, how can I help Wilbur with the, you remember that question? I didn't have an answer, but I do now. And the way that you can help, please require a permit. There's no permit required. It's a 1-page form, and it costs $1,000 to set up a halfway house bed in Mesa. There's no public notification. There's no vote. Can you please, we want to work with you, and we want to be protected, and we want to know that you have our back. Can you at least make permits required and help us changing the zoning so that we can be safe in this community that we have worked so hard? I've been down there 25 years, you guys, and we just need your help. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice. Thank you for organizing your neighborhood. Unfortunately, this is not agendized in such a way that we can, from the dais, respond. But Mr. Brady, can you?
And we appreciate the neighbors coming down.
You know that this is a great concern, and so we are both working on a briefing to the council about what the state law that's been passed, what that entails. But if there's what we can do as a city between now and the effective date of that, and so we're wanting to bring that to council pretty quickly, and we'll certainly reach out to the neighbors so they're aware of that. But we're very much aware of this, and we're trying to work on at least between now and the time the state law kicks in, what can make Mesa do. And so we'll be bringing some proposals to the council.
Thank you. Janice, you should have an email from me that went out today that kind of summarizes where I think we're at on this. You know, I'm sorry we can't, without breaking the law, please get with staff. And I think Mr. Brady just said that that was our intention, that this is on, headed towards a council agenda.
I'll let
you. Yeah, yeah. I just heard an expression of putting it on the agenda. So I don't think that's you're going to have a problem with that. Okay, thank you very much. That concludes the items on our agenda for this meeting. Is there a motion to adjourn this meeting?
Someone.
Thank you. And a second. All in favor, please say aye. Aye. Okay, council can't go anywhere because we still have a special council meeting to conduct. We will now have our special council meeting for the purposes of approving the budget. Item 1A is to conduct a public hearing on the proposed fiscal year 2018-19 budget and the proposed fiscal year 2018-19 secondary property tax levy. I declare the public hearing open. Ms. Mickelson, have there been any requests to speak on this item? Thank you. Do any council members want to address this item? Yes, Jeremy.
I have 8 reasons why I'm not supporting the budget, which all can be found in the May 21st council video, so I'm not going to bore everybody tonight. So I won't go into any detail on those issues. I want to reiterate a few important points, though. The short-sightedness involved in the process, I think, is concerning. For example, to take out 20-year bonds to pay for things like ASU and then only have a budget to pay back the first 5 years or 25% of the costs and currently ignore the other 75% of the cost is irresponsible. This forces future councils to have to deal with our spending problems. In the 5 years that we do budget for, it's structurally imbalanced in that we spend more than we take in revenues. So for anyone to say we have leftover money for pet projects is simply not true. For example, for our enterprise fund, we spend more than we receive. In fact, next year we'll spend $7 million more than we take in revenues, followed by $4 million deficit, $14 million deficit, $17 million deficit, and a $12 million deficit in the following year. And in 23-24, a $4 million deficit, at which point our reserve balance will be depleted to the minimal allowable percent. So for these reasons and the reasons I stated in the May 21st meeting, I will not be supporting the budget this year.
Any additional council comment? I declare the public hearing closed. Item 1B is a resolution approving the budget for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2019. Ms. Mickelson, do we have any requests to speak on this item? Thank you. Council, any comments on this item? Is there a motion to approve? Thank you, Mr. Luna, seconded by Mr. Glover. Please cast your vote. The vote is in positive, with Mr. Whitaker voting nay. Is there a motion to adjourn this meeting? Thank you, Mr. Freeman, Mr. Luna. All in favor, please say aye. Aye. We are adjourned.